Greetings and welcome, everybody. It's Great American Golf. I'm Ray Adams, your caddy for the show. Thank you so much for joining. I can't wait to tell you everything we have going on today. So why wait? Let's do it now. Dr. Bob Denny's with us. Craig Renshaw's teaching. He will not be joining us, but we have a very special, special edition of the show today because we have such a special guest on with us. You are going to love this person if you don't already know her. You are going to be fascinated by her if you don't already know her. You are going to be amazed, and you're going to be, well, I think stunned by some of the information you're going to get and the timeliness of what's going on with this wonderful, wonderful ambassador for golf. We'll introduce her later. But right now, Dr. Bob and I are going to get rocking and rolling. I've got to start the show by saying that this segment is brought to you by the Legacy Golf Resort. Women's Golf Day is coming. PGA Junior Camp starts soon. Women's Golf Day is going to be from June the 2nd, or on June the 2nd, from 3 to 7 p.m. It's $49. You go to the Legacy Golf Club, which is one of my great, great sponsors, Championship Golf, the Legacy Golf Performance Center, on and on it goes. The venue for having weddings and corporate outings, their restaurants, such great food, all of it is there. You can register online, and when you do that, you go to golflegacyresort.com, golflegacyresort.com, and then you find the Women's Golf Day event page and get scheduled in. You're going to celebrate, learn, play. It's going to be a welcoming golf experience that is safe for all women and young girls in the game. Bring a friend, meet new players. It's going to be a fun day on June the 2nd from 3 to 7 p.m., and it's only $49. So much going on. You can expect a 50-minute clinic followed by 9 holes of golf, social time, networking, new golf friends. It's open to every skill level, including people who are beginners and maybe never even played the game. Women's Golf Day, our friend Alyssa Gaudet, the founder, it's going on all over the world, over 1,000 golf courses, hundreds of thousands of women and young girls coming. It's all going to be for us right here in Phoenix at the Legacy Golf Resort, golflegacyresort.com, and Tally Tumbler. The Tally Tumbler, it's summer, it's hot, everywhere, or it's going to be. Tally Tumbler comes in all new sizes. Tally Tumbler keeps your drinks ice cold, piping hot. Tally Tumbler has the rings on top of the tumbler that keeps your scores and your stats for golf, and there are tumblers for other sports too. TallyTumbler.com. Can't wait to give you more information. And if you want to be in my gift guide coming out in just a few days, the summer guide is coming out. And in time for Father's Day, you go to golfadams@msn.com. And if you're not on my list, you'll be on my list, golfadams@msn.com. There you go, Bob. Tell me something good.
Second major of the year is in play at Aronimink Golf Club in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. The golf course is living up to its billing. It is playing very rough and tough. The rough is up. The greens are challenging. The pin placements couldn't be any more interesting. And we are finding that it is a international leaderboard, which is a way that was intended. 97 of the top 100 players in the world are in this golf tournament. And defending champion Scotty is among the group chasing the leader right now, Aldrich Potgieter, mm-hmm. who from South Africa, who's only won last year's Rocket Classic. And he's just playing very steady. And if anybody's watching it on television on CBS, or excuse me, ESPN and CBS on the weekend, you'll find that this golf course slopes on the greens are what make it very interesting. The wind is picking up at different times, and they have a very unique, I would say, a routing with these challenging par threes, which makes it always interesting.
Bob, I'm beside myself about a few things. First of all, this Smalley player has come out of nowhere. No one's ever heard of this guy. And then here he comes and he's playing lights out golf. Matsuyama's there. I'm always worried about Matsuyama taking the lead and winning a tournament whenever he's around. And Chris Goddard, you and I both know what he can do. But Potgieter is a young man, 21 or two only, who has come up the last year and a half or so, 12, 18 months, and he has taken the stage. He reminds me of a younger Sepp Straka, just coming kind of out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, there he is, and he's winning, and he's playing, and he's contending. He hits the ball a country mile. He lost about 25 or 30 pounds over the holidays. Somebody said that that was going to, bring his swing speed down, and he was going to hit the ball, fewer yardage. He's hitting it a yardage, a yard and a half longer, probably because he can move through the ball a lot quicker without the weight. Whatever that means, it means that we have a leaderboard that I don't know that the PGA of America ever thought that they would have at this point
Yeah,
through.
it's a unique leaderboard because seven of the top 10 right now have never won a major, and that makes it interesting. And Potgieter is the interesting about him is he's played in majors. This is his first ever PGA Championship appearance, but he's been in two Masters, two Open Championships, and the U.S. Open. So it's not that he doesn't know what it's like to play in with the bright lights. And that's good to see that. And he's got a lot of talent. Every time you see the word South Africa, you think back to Gary Player and what he did this golf tournament. He won it in 1962 on this golf course, Gary Player. So yeah, that shows you that we've had an influx of tremendous world global stars coming out. And yes, we have not heard many of them unless you turn on the DP World Tour on weekends to watch it. So that speaks for it. But I used to make that quite a practice, is watching on Saturday morning to see how these players from Europe and around the world are playing, and they just absolutely can handle about any conditions that they're thrown at them, Ray.
So what happened to Garrick Higgo yesterday?
Garrick Higgo was a minute late to the tee. You have to be in the vicinity of the teeing ground in a 5 minute period. He was not there. His groups were. His One of his partners had already teed off. He comes in to the perimeter of the tee where the scoring is, and he's assessed a 2-stroke penalty. And he goes out and shoots a 69, and which was pretty amazing after what that thrown at you right away.
Now I read the article where he commented on it, and he said that he was there at his time, but he was a few seconds late, like 30 seconds late. And
That's
if
not
you're,
true. Not true.
well, he read, he said
He,
it.
that's what he said. But what they, if you watched ESPN today, they had a clock on it and they timed it. And he's still over at the putting green, and his caddy is yelling at him. And he finally runs down there and gets there a minute within the time before he's disqualified.
Well, if you
So,
have 5 minutes and he's there in 4 minutes, why would you get a two-stroke penalty?
he was not there. You have to be in the perimeter of the time with your group. And one guy's already teeing off, and he's not even there yet with his caddy. That's the problem. His caddy's up there on the green yelling at him. That's the point. But he didn't really enunciate it very well to you in his interview.
Well,
That's
yeah,
the
because
problem.
I read it, and that's what I was confused about. Because, okay, so if he's that late, I get it. But if he was within 12, 15, 30 seconds of his tee time, and then you give him a two-stroke penalty, that's the dumbest ass rule I've ever heard. And if that's really what the rule is, it's got to change. Because in what I read, it said that is the rule. Now, what you're saying is totally different, and that's fine. I mean, I don't really care one way or the other, if that's what really happened. But my point is, what in the Sam Hill was this guy doing over there? Doesn't he have a watch?
He also said in his interview, Ray, that he doesn't like to get there 2 10 minutes ahead of time
Well,
because
because you get cold.
he gets cold. All right, that's
Well, it
nice.
was cold. It was colder than a well digger's toenail yesterday and Thursday. I mean, did you see Bryson show up in that polar, neck to knee coat? It was cold. So he doesn't like, and a lot of players don't like to go there too early because then they warm down and they get chilled and they're supposed to hit a great tee shot and be warm and ready to go. That I understand. So maybe what they ought to do is extend the tee time window to 7 minutes, you know, if it's cold weather. You know, you can have a local rule, right? They do it all the time, Bob.
The PGA of America local rules and terms of competition is Rule 5.3A. It's spelled out clearly to the players. It's in the locker rooms. It's right in front of them. They know the rule. The penalties applied even if the player was on the practice screen, as they were not within the defined area at the time of the penalty.
Got it. All right.
There
Well,
we go.
he's cooked and he misses the cut.
That's the penalty you go through. It's not the first time it's happened. When I was in my first golf tournament, the Senior PGA Club Professional Championship, some tournament you've never heard of unless you work for the PGA of America. This is the club professional national event for players age 50 and over, not the senior PGA. This is the one below it. I was in the scoring area and the defending champion at the time, I will not bring up his name, a two-time defending champion, was late to the tee. He was not on the teeing ground. He was assessed. He missed his tee time 5 minutes. He drove his cart up the hill to try to make an appeal to the tournament director, and the tournament director stood there firmly and said, "I'm sorry, but you are late to the tee." And
Was that
he was
John
the
Daly?
no, it wasn't. This was a senior club
Oh,
professional
okay, a
championship,
club. Okay, club pro.
right?
Sorry.
But I,
Okay.
rather than not bring up the name, I'll just say that was
No, no, no.
my first introduction as a PGA employee on the rules of scoring. And that was
Okay.
what the probably the toughest thing you can see at that moment. A
Yeah.
two-time defending champion.
Yeah. Well, we're going to return to this leaderboard a little bit later in the show. Well, we probably have another minute. And I know there's nuggets coming. I know that we're looking. I think so far that the golf course has been the hero. So far, the golf course is the story. So far, this golf course has, I think, defended itself very well through these 2 rounds. You've got three and four and five under. Cameron Young is two under. JT sets at two under.
Scotty.
Scotty's there. J Day. There's a lot of golf to be played this weekend, Bob.
Oh, yes.
And I think that anybody who is one under, like Brooks Koepka, like Jordan Spieth, like Maverick McNealy, like Jon Rahm, any of those can win this golf tournament.
It's anybody's golf tournament. And Scotty even said that yesterday. But moving day doesn't have to be Saturday. Moving day could be today. And that's important when you see golf scores like you're seeing. The cut is plus three. So plus three now. And that tells you something about the nature of the golf course.
All right.
And also, who can grind it the best? And there's a lot of grinders in that group, notwithstanding those young stars we've talked about earlier at the fact. I think Hideki's a definite factor, a big definite factor in this, because he's patient. He's a very patient golfer. Cameron Young is a patient golfer, and he proved it today with an eagle on the last hole to get himself into the weekend with two under.
What's
That was
going on?
impressive.
What's going on with him using some kind of a prototype ball or something?
Yes, it came out earlier in this week that he has been using a prototype Titleist Pro VX one prototype ball that's not available to the public. However, that ball has been already tested to conform to the any upcoming rollback distances by the RNA and the USGA. That's interesting. And he is not alone. He's just one of those that they were able to identify using that ball. So it certainly hasn't hurt old Cam Young, has it?
No, it has not. Alex Smalley is a 29-year-old from Rochester, New York. He knows about majors and he knows about playing on a Ronimink. Do you know anything else about him?
Well, just what basically I can find on any profile on, because I don't keep up. And Alex, and he's he a Duke graduate. I do know that much. And he's a crusty nut, 29 years old, and that's something we say. Person at 29 years old, this he has been through a lot of experience. Rochester, I wonder how much he's played on some of those great golf courses, Oak Hill and the Country Club of Rochester, because it's the hotbed of golf, and as far as the PGA of America has been current for many years. And he's just a he's a good talent. He's I don't know how to describe him more than just a he's just been on the Walker Cup team, and he's done very well, and he's very seasoned when it comes right down to it. It's just he hasn't been in the spotlight as what we're seeing right now.
Lot of talk on Thursday night about Jon Rahm. He had a little temper tantrum and hit a volunteer. He was going to go out and find him and apologize. There was also a lot of talk about Patrick Reed, and Patrick Reed shot a plus two, so he took himself out of it, in my opinion. Now, could he come back? Possibly, but I would seriously doubt it at this point. If you're trending down, I don't know that you're going to come back up. Love to see him shoot 63 or four and be right there in it. But yeah, Jon Rahm, it's the Spanish temper. Look what Sergio did at the Masters, busting up the tee marker and getting a citation or a warning that you're not a player that is if you're not a player of becoming morale or whatever the rule is now. Go ahead.
I watched both episodes, and I also saw Justin Thomas tomahawk his club on 17, and it didn't hurt anybody, but he just tomahawked it in front of the tee,
But see, you
and
got to stop that kind of stuff because
he picked
we've
it
got
up and
young
made a
kids watching the tournament and they're going to copy that crap out on the junior tour.
some kids will do that. Yes.
Well, they'll say, hey, JT is the son of a PGA professional. JT is a PGA professional. He's a PGA Tour professional. JT has won major championships. JT is, I don't know how far away he is from the Hall of Fame, but you figure he'll probably get there. JT is playing in a PGA championship. He's playing in front of millions of people, and he decides he's just going to throw his club. Okay, well, I'll throw mine. Well, that's stupid. Where don't they have any self-control, Bob?
The PGA of America also announced that it had its core rules of conduct,
Yeah.
and that came out ahead of the tournament. Kerry Hague announced it at the press conference, and Jon Rahm, Justin Thomas were not brought into a code of conduct penalty or any sort at the moment, and that's what I can tell you at the moment, because those of my colleagues who were reporting on site said there wasn't any warning.
And Bryson is playing like a fat whale. What's going on with him? Well, they said that his head is all messed up because of, live and how he's going to come out of it and what's going to happen. And he can't think straight and he can't do straight and he can't play straight. And I say that's all a pile of poop, too. What about you?
The violins are playing, aren't they?
Yeah. For 500 million, is that what he asked for?
But he's a when we came on earlier, he was just headed probably to probably his worst finish in a PGA Championship, but plus nine at before the program today, and so he was deep into the woods in at Adirondack. Excuse me, Aronimink.
One of the sages of this radio show is Tom Pertzer. I was teasing about it because he puts up some very, very meaty sayings and what aphorisms, and Tom is such a great guy, and we love having him on the show. Here's one of his latest one: "Not every day is a good day. Live anyway, right, Bryson? Not everyone will tell you the truth. Be honest anyway. Not all you love will love you back. Love anyway. Not all deals are fair. Play fair Anyway, that has a lot to do with life, but it also has a lot to do with golf, doesn't it? I
Sure.
love that.
Got my nice little nugget for you to start out here.
Well, already.
Okay. All credit to Ben Kern, Kern, PGA club professional who has made the cut tremendously today, on Friday, I should say, with a 67 in the second round. And Ben has had a interesting pass. He was a low club professional in 2018 when Brooks Koepka won it in St. Louis. At I was really impressed with the Ben, and Ben's a Kansas State graduate. Birthplace was Tucson, Arizona. He's 41 years old, and he's just happy to see he's out there playing very well. And that 67 is one, two. It's the third lowest with other ties in a club professional in a PGA championship. 64 and a 66s have been played before, but there's several at 67. So Ben picked the perfect time to put that round together.
How are the club professionals doing, 20 of them, Bob, overall? How are they doing?
Ben was the lowest, obviously, to make the weekend, so he'll get the low club professional crystal. The others, we've had a Michael Block, who missed it by the cut by 2 strokes, and Mike was had a 70 on the first round, so I was hoping that he would be able to
I'm
come through
surprised by that. I really am.
a 70.
No, I'm surprised that Michael Block didn't make it into the weekend.
It's one of the, I think he caught the bad part of the wind in the first wave on Friday. It helped. It really affected Scotty as well, and
And
Scotty was lucky to pull it out. But that it was a tough one. Yeah.
I look at the LIV players. Here's Patrick Reed. He's at even, shooting a 72, as I mentioned earlier. Here comes, and I thought that Xander would do a lot better. I really did. I thought that he would be there. But he's got a lot of golf to play. So let's see where he ends up. Colin, one over, Ludvig Åberg, he's got a lot of golf to play. So, DJ finishes out at two over. But he does make the cut. They were talking a lot about Martin Kaymer the other day. Apparently, somebody in the lunchroom or something said to him, "What are you doing here?"
Actually, that was at the PGA Champions dinner,
Okay.
and an unnamed PGA of America official, he said this. This is Martin saying, "Are you what? How are you? What are you doing in your career? How are you playing?" He says, "Well, I'm playing this week. I wouldn't be here having a New York strip with you guys if I if coming all the way from Europe." I thought that was a great line. Yeah, Martin is always been a very, very fit
Well,
and
and he shot
tremendous
a
player.
67, shot
Yeah.
three under par.
Yeah. He's a very fit, keeps himself in great shape. And I always liked him, and he performed so well by winning the US Open at Pinehurst, didn't he?
Absolutely did he. All right, Bob, we're going to go out for a short break, and then we have a very special guest that you're going to help me introduce. We'll come back to the leaderboard later in the show, talk a little bit more about the PGA Championship going on. We are in the middle of championship season, everybody. I'm Ray Adams. He's Bob Denny. And when we come back, get ready. You're going to meet one of the loveliest, nicest, most important people in the game of golf globally on the show today. Stay tuned for these great messages. They're going to help you with your game. You're going to love it. And there's going to be ideas there for Father's Day coming up. And we just had a wonderful Mother's Day. And then I have my summer gift guide coming out. And if you want to be in that list of almost a quarter of a million golfers, 70% men, 30% women, and growing, by the way, you want to write to me, golfadams@msn.com. My summer product gift guide coming out very soon. Be on the list and get it. Back with you in just a moment, everybody. Stay right there.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com. to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
Greetings and welcome back, everybody. Ray Adams here with you, Dr. Bob Denny with you, and a very special guest. Dr. Bob is going to introduce this very special guest, and that's why this is a very special edition of Great American Golf. I'm telling you, folks, if it got any better, well, they'd have to figure out how to slow me down. I just love everything we're doing, love the shows, love the guests. And Dr. Bob, we're back on the air, and I want to make sure that you give this next guest her due propers. And I know that you're going to do that. She was already a guest on my television show for a full 30-minute episode. All of that will be posted and come out to all of you. And we will be, of course, this radio podcast show will be up on all of the platforms where you get your podcast, all any of them that you choose. It'll be up there by probably Monday, but it will air Saturday today, and it will air a few times this weekend, and then they send these shows up. All right, Dr. Bob, we have a very special guest. What are you going to do?
I'm very proud to introduce one of my dear friends who is PGA head professional at Clearview Golf Club in East Canton, Ohio, a golf course that is stewarded by her brother, Larry, who's a life member of the Golf Course Superintendents Association. Renee Powell is the, and Larry Powell are the representatives of a family that is one of the most unique and celebrated and one of the most decorated in golf. And Clearview Golf Club this year, Ray, as we celebrate this national 250th anniversary of our country, this is America's course celebrating its 80th anniversary this year. Mm-hmm. And her father, William Powell, a member of the PGA of America Hall of Fame, and Renee is a member of the PGA of America Hall of Fame, are the this is the unique way to look at this golf course as it's a legacy, as it's carried on. We're hoping America will be more in tune this year with what Clearview has meant to this country, and also to all different communities, the veterans, the women and youth, all different ways. Renee is our, in a short way to introduce, is the greatest living ambassador of the game today. And she's a member of 15 halls of fame. I don't know anybody in history has ever been to that level. Her family was honored with the old Thomas Morris Award at the club. It's the home of the only the Clearview Hope, the only year-round women's veterans rehabilitative program. Wow. And across the sea, Renee is embraced by the British to the tune of being the only American to have a residence hall in her honor named for her, Powell Hall, at the University of St. Andrews, which is just over 600 years old, by the way.
Are we talking about St. Andrews, Scotland?
Yes, St. Andrews, Scotland. So she's also a member of the RNA, first honorary class of membership there, joining Annika and Princess the Princess Kate, whatever it is. Princess Anne. Thank you. Princess Anne. So Renee Powell, welcome to the show.
Yes, my goodness. Welcome, Bob. I I wish that you would have given her a nicer introduction. You cheated her out on probably another 30 minutes of accolades. But Renee, you and I know each other as well. You were on my television show. We have a great episode that's going to be coming out. And I decided, because of so many things going on with Clearview, that I was going to hold that show and that we were going to get it out there round about this time. So we're just about ready to do that. Renee, I want to let you know, though, that if you have ties with St. Andrews, then you have ties with my great great grandparents who were born there.
Oh, really?
The
Wow.
Kingdom of Fife.
Yes, I love it. The Kingdom of Fife. And people don't realize it's still a kingdom.
It is. And my email address for 30 years has been golfpfeiffer@yahoo.com, and nobody knows what pfeiffer means.
Oh,
It means I'm a Fifer. I'm from the Kingdom of Fife
wow.
by birthright. Yeah.
Very
All
good.
right, Renee, I know where to begin, but I don't know where to begin other than the folks need to know you a little bit better. So let's start with you. After your dad came home from the war, he built the golf course and he did it by hand almost. And with a little bit of money here and a couple of dollars there, he built Clearview Golf Course. It's near Canton, Ohio. I'm correct about that, correct?
You're absolutely right. We're in East Canton, which is, just sort of I guess it's more of a little suburb of Canton.
So if you go there to the NFL Football Hall of Fame, you can go to see Renee and you can play the golf course and visit with her brother and ask him how he makes it all beautiful. But Renee, the beginning of your story is that you grew up, you mowed the greens, you worked for your dad, you loved the game, and one thing led to the other. And the next thing your family figured out, your dad figured out, that you were a stick. I mean, you were good. Take us from there for just a couple minutes now for our time, but for a couple of minutes, take us from there as to what happened to you as a player. All the way on to the LPGA tour.
Okay, Ray. So I must say I didn't mow a whole lot of greens. I mean, I know how to mow greens, but that wasn't my job.
But what was your job? I thought that was it.
My job was to play golf.
Oh, okay. I thought you helped him out on the course.
Well,
Okay.
no, I mean, I did a little bit of that. I mean, I
Okay.
know how to do
Go
that.
ahead.
I love that. But I guess I was raised more to, I had two brothers. They worked on the golf course. And I guess I was raised more to be a golfer. So from my dad put a golf club in my hand when I was three. I started competing in golf tournaments at the age of 12, and so continued on, played junior tournaments, played a lot, also in women's golf tournaments during the era of the UGA. And I don't know how much you know about the UGA, United Golfers Association. But I played in those tournaments. My first big national tournament was the U.S. United States Junior Girls Junior Championship when I was 16. And I also played in the U.S. Women's Amateur the following week, and just before my 17th birthday, played in the U.S. Women's Open.
Wow.
So I played a lot of golf. I was a pretty good player when I was, coming along as a junior. And then ended up going to Ohio University and later on to The Ohio State University, where I captained the golf teams at both schools, women's golf teams at the schools when I was there. And then in
Boy, some
19.
other famous golfers went to that school, didn't they?
A couple people. I mean, one that, I think he's has a tournament coming up soon by the name of Jack Nicklaus. Ed Snead,
Didn't Tom Weisskopf go there too?
Tom Weisskopf, yep.
He was on
So,
my show, and Jack's been on my show. See
okay.
all the company I have on my show, Bob?
Well, then you need to get Ed Snead. He's another one that
Well,
was played
call him
right
up on the
after
phone. Call him on the
Tom
phone and tell
Weisskopf.
him we want him.
Yeah, because his wife and I were teammates on Ohio State's golf team,
Okay, cool.
Nancy
So at
Popovic.
Ohio State, you played a lot of college golf, and then what happened?
And then I ended up turning pro and playing on the LPGA tour for 13 years.
Wow.
And it gave me an opportunity to sort of travel the world, really, then.
Who were some of the players that you loved to play with, and who was one or two that may be a little intimidating, or were you the intimidator?
No, you know who was really one of the intimidators? So I knew 11 of the 13 founders, and I was under contract to Wilson Sporting Goods for a long time. And Patty Berg is the one who actually taught for anybody who played Wilson or signed contract with them, they ended up having to do a clinic training with Patty Berg. So I think I was most intimidated by Patty Berg, who actually followed me around when I played my first USGA junior girls at the age of 16. So I'd known Patty since that time. But people that I played with, so Betsy Rawls was still playing Patty, Mickey Wright, and Carol Mann. Carol Mann was probably a little bit intimidating because basically probably from Carol's height, because she was like 6'3".
I just finished interviewing Meg Mallon and Beth Daniel, both golf Hall of Famers as well. Are they ever fun? And boy, were they ever competitors.
Oh, yes, they were. I think Meg ended up going to Ohio State also for a while.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah, I'm sure you are. All right, so let's get you through the LPGA tour. You played for 13 years, and at the end of those 13 years, you said to yourself, what?
I said that, I still need to stay involved with golf in some way. And what I did was right after the tour, I actually started going around to many of our HBCU, historically black college and universities. And I felt that everybody should play golf. And so my thing was talking to them, talking to the students about once they leave the academia world, go out into the real world, they needed to know how to play the game of golf. So I did that. In addition, I also started going to the continent of Africa, taking golf to the indigenous people of the continent,
Oh, wow.
and making 25 trips to the continent over the
Wow.
years.
Now, did you ever hook up with Betsy King on what she does over in Africa?
So my last trip was, and Betsy called me because I'd made 25 trips. Betsy then contacted me when she said, I've equaled you, and she's gone beyond. But my very last trip to Africa was to Rwanda, and it was actually with Betsy and Julie Yingsters and Julie's daughters and Catherine
Wonderful.
Kirk.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Bob, take over.
Renee, when you look back upon the way that women's golf has grown, what would you think if some of those founders were still alive today and they can look at what things are today? How would you think they'd react to what's been going on in women's golf?
Oh my gosh, I'd be so amazed. They wouldn't believe it, probably. Although the ones that got a chance to see it a little longer and lived into their 90s were Marilyn Smith and Shirley Spork and Marlene Hagee. And I was in touch with Shirley a lot and Marilyn, and they were just really amazed and surprised at how the game had grown. A little disappointed that we hadn't gotten on closer to the equal dollars as the men are receiving, but to see golf growing throughout the world, I mean, they never thought of anything like that. When they first started, they made the rulings on the tour. They ran the tour themselves, the players did. And to see how it's grown, I mean, and they absolutely love it. And I think they were hard to found it hard to believe that something that they had created and something they had started had grown to the point of where it is now today.
Bob, let's ask Renee to answer a question that just came in from one of the listeners, and that is, please tell us about Clearview more. Why is it so special beyond the obvious? What else about it?
Well, Clearview was when my dad came back. He was in World War II when he came back from the military. He actually, he had started golf when he was 9 years old, okay? And then continued on. He and his brother actually started the first golf team at Wilberforce University, which is the oldest HBCU school in the country. But when daddy was playing golf in high school, at Minerva High School, he was the number one player on the team. He scheduled all the matches, and he was the captain of the team. And after high school, he wasn't welcome at the same area courses if they played as part of the team
And that
because
is
of the
where
color
this
of his
question,
skin.
and that's where the question I think is going, and that
Yeah.
is, what did he go up against to build this golf course
Well,
after his playing days? What did he have to face? What
but
happened to him?
well, I will say this. When he was sent overseas to during World War II, and and unfortunately we had a black army and a white army, but fighting for the same thing. He was fighting for his country. He was in Scotland and England where he went, and he found that he was able to the members at clubs would let him use their golf clubs and their golf courses, or else he would borrow clubs from the Red Cross in order to play. And he said he felt that when he came back to the United States as a soldier fighting for your country and many people dying for their country, that things would have changed. And he found that they had not changed. And so my dad's thing was that he felt that everybody should have an opportunity. And that's the one word that he used a lot, opportunity to play this wonderful sport of golf, which he fell in love with at the age of 9. And so he said women were not welcome on the golf course very much, and kids were not welcome on the course, and certainly people that looked like him and looked like me were not welcome on the course. So his thing was to create an opportunity for all people, regardless of the color of your skin, your hair, your religion, or your nationality. And so that's
Renee,
how.
is that over today? Are we past all of that, or are there still, ghosts and goblins about that here and there?
Well, you could probably answer that question yourself, right? I mean, look at our society and look at a lot of the things that are going on in our, in the country today. So
We're not over it.
but he then felt that he was some way he had to build a golf course which he loved so that all people could enjoy the sport that he had fallen in love with. And that's what he did in 1946.
Where did he
And
get the
first,
money? Where did he get the
well,
money?
what he did was he taught two black doctors how to play, and his brother, who he was very close to, his my dad didn't have his money, so he taught he borrowed his my uncle, his brother mortgaged his house in California to give my dad his share of the money, and the three put in equal amounts and purchased the first 78 acres of the golf course of the land,
Did he
and
try
it
to
was.
go to the bank and get a GI loan?
Well, my dad, yes, the thing was, my dad was from a town, Minerva, and their family was the only black family in the entire town. And so, therefore, his friends that had also gone to the war, they were all white, obviously, and they would go to a bank and they said, "Oh, Willie, this is where you can go. This is where I got a bank loan, a GI loan, and the GI Bill." And my dad would go to the same place. And they said, "No, because they were only for white soldiers, not for black soldiers."
Oh, even gotcha. I can't
So
take it.
Renee, he got help from two physicians, right?
Right. He taught the two doctors how to play, and that's how they purchased the first 78 acres of land. And then Daddy began building the golf course, eventually paid them back. And he literally, the first nine holes with a hand seater around his neck, you turn the hand seater, and he literally walked back and forth, every single fairway, which is how he actually seated the entire golf course. And it
Backbreaking.
was nine holes. Built the first nine holes in 1946, and the second nine not until 1978. But it's a I mean, I see it every day, and the thing is, it's extremely hard to even comprehend me, and I'm here all the time and see what he did. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Ray, they got a really tremendous new museum, that Marcella and William Powell Museum. They've got the great meeting hall. They bring a lot of events there, and Renee is going to host some special events for this calendar year. So I encourage everybody to go to clearviewgolfclub.com to see that calendar.
Oh, very good, Bob.
No,
Thanks.
we're going to get to that. But Bob, great. I'm glad you brought it up, because that was where we were headed. There's a lot of special events that I had put in my notes, and I want you to just kind of go through a few of them. Now, are all of the museum and everything, or is that all on the same, all on one property?
Oh yeah, I mean it's one building. So
Okay.
whenever we had to, for last year we did 40, it was the 40th anniversary of the William Powell a celebrity golf tournament, and we'd always been in a tent until a couple years ago. So anytime we had events, we had to put up a tent to do our dinners and award ceremonies and things,
Right.
no marquee. And so we finally, 3 years ago, finally got a building built.
Now, when is that celebrity event, golf event?
Well, we have there are two there. So we have the Franco Harris Clearview LPGA Pro-Am. It's a pro-am that we have with LPGA Tour players that will come in. And we've been doing that.
When?
It's June 8th. And the day before is a dinner at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And we, like, as I say, we've been doing that for the past 30 some years.
That's a big
And
deal. When's the
Franco
other
Harris
event?
was always very much involved with Clearview and a lot of things that we did. And so we've
Yeah.
renamed it after him this year. The other event, the William Powell Celebrity Tournament, is in August, August 29th. So it's the last Saturday, I think, of August.
Bob, we need to find a couple of bucks from a sponsor somewhere and let's go out there and film a TV show and cover all of this.
There's plenty of great content, Ray, at Clearview always. And what always
I would love to do that.
draws me there to America's course is that big bronze plaque. It says on the National Register of Historic Places that is
Yeah.
so something Mr. Powell was so proud of.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What a fantastic conversation with Renee Powell. And Renee, thank you so much for being a part of this show today and for sharing your life and your dad's life and mothers and brothers and
Brothers,
the
yeah.
whole family at Clearview Golf Club. Now, the where they go for the folks to find out more or to attend or donate, because they need a couple of bucks here and there, folks, to help them with the course. And if you have a mind to, you can certainly go to the website for everything you need. And it's Clearview, one word, clearviewgolfclub.com. Is that
That's
right?
it. Very good, Ray.
See, I remembered that from
You
2 years
did.
ago.
And on every page of it has a donate button.
Yay.
So we'd love to have and really welcome and appreciate all donations.
All right,
And
everybody,
our
get your money out. Quit hiding when it's time to talk about donating.
and the thing, Ray, is that we are a Clearview is a foundation. It's a Clearview Legacy Foundation for
See?
Education, Preservation, and Turfgrass Research, which is a 501c3 tax-exempt charitable foundation.
Perfect. See, there you go, folks. You can take it off
Okay.
the taxes. That is wonderful, Renee. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your day. I know it's getting a little late there. You're probably getting tired, but we are forging on this wonderful day, and it's 100 degrees in Phoenix, Arizona. So we're very glad that you're in a cooler country. But we're fine. Everybody's going to get out and play golf. And I'm going to give you the final word, Renee. What about this PGA championship going on, huh?
My gosh, it's exciting, isn't it? And
Yeah.
so nobody knows who's going to be holding that cup at the end of Sunday.
Not
So
right now, they don't.
nope, and they won't know until probably the last couple of holes on Sunday, I would think.
I interviewed Nellie Korda recently when she was
Ah,
here in
great
Phoenix
player.
at the Ford Championship. She's world number one again, and I
Yes.
think she's about this close. What is she, Bob? 3 points away from being,
Four points.
4 points away from being Hall of Fame, the hardest Hall of Fame to get into of any
Yes,
Hall of
it
Fame.
is.
And we're going to have to do something about Nellie getting into the Hall of Fame when that happens. We're going to have to get her on TV too or figure out how to get her on the show. So lots of great news going on with women's golf. I think the best news of any golf anywhere in the world is women's golf. And you're part of the best news too, Renee Clearview. Thank you so much today for being
Well,
with
thank
us.
you. I enjoyed being with both of you today. Thank you so much.
All right, there she is, Renee Powell, Bob. What a lady.
Yes, I always believe that she's the greatest living ambassador of the game, and I don't know anybody that can top her in all the categories that we brought up.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's everything. And what I respect the most about Renee is that she played for 13 years on the tour. So she knows professional golf, she knows tour golf. And Bobby Jones said that there's golf and then there's tour golf, two different games.
Right.
And she knows the pressure, the stress, the travel, so she can relate with everybody in that way. And then just her work there with Clearview and with her family, and you know, keeping the dream alive, keeping the hope alive, keeping the history alive. I think it's a piece of American history. It's a piece of golf history. And
Right.
listen, if you're part of that, you know, I sometimes say if you wear Ashworth golf apparel, you're wearing a part of golf history. And that's true. But if you can get to Clearview or be a part of Clearview's story, donate to Clearview, you're part of golf history too,
Yeah.
Bob.
Some of the greatest names in sports have rubbed shoulders on that golf course. Hank Aaron's been there, you know, and they've had numerous Cleveland Cavaliers, Cleveland Browns, some very great players walk through that area. Women golfers have been out in that area. That it's a national shrine for golf, but it is a beautiful setting. It's a wonderful walk. I love walking a walking golf course. I just love that opportunity. And to me, it brings back my thoughts about how Mr. Powell constructed that land, that dairy, former dairy farm, into what he did today. It's amazing. CBS with James Brown had a piece back in 2019 on it. You can always look that on YouTube of how. It's talking about Renee and how Clearview Hope was such a big part of it. And she's done a wonderful job, but is overwhelmed with the schedule she has to be able to make a wonderful impression upon women veterans. And they've saved lives, Ray, flat out saved lives.
All right, Bob, what a great show. We're going to cut it for today. We're just about out of time. And we'll be back on Monday for the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Hopefully, Craig can join us. I want to thank Tour Edge Golf for being a part of the show today at touredge.com. And don't forget the new ball from Tour Edge. They've got the hot launch balls and they've got the exotics. You've got to get there. And those golf clubs, unbelievably beautiful. I got my new golf bag in, Bob, from Tour Edge. So now I have a full television set ready for the camera to show off Tour Edge golf clubs on the camera when I'm filming or doing videos of any kind. And then, of course, I want to thank Squares. Boy, are they excited about Christopher Ratan. Squares is, I think, on cloud nine with him. And of course, they're continuing to talk all about their pickleball shoes, their baseball shoes, their golf shoes. All the different styles for both men and women. Mother's Day passed, but now you can look forward to Father's Day. They will be in my summer product guide along with Tour Edge and Tally Tumbler. So lots happening, and Ashworth Golf Apparel will be there too. Make sure you get on my list so you get my summer gift guide and all of my other product and gift guides and reviews throughout the year by writing to me, golfadams@msn.com. All right, Bob, that's all for today. I'm going to give you the final word. You've got the last 7 seconds.
Enjoy the PGA and watch what the struggle is like, and you understand what difference between tour golf and average golf.
There you will. You're going to see them sweating. I think it's going to be a great time. I really do. All right, folks, we'll be back with you on Saturday for, excuse me, on Monday for the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Have a great week.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.